here and they're working, hopefully.
I appreciate your questions. I probably should put some of them on the, record them and put them on the website, because you've got real good questions. They're not off-the-wall silly questions. Not one of them. If somebody else, if you ask the question, that's because somebody else also would like to know the answer to it also. These trees are working me over out here. Let's have a word of prayer. And I hope I can quit coughing long enough to, do that. Dakota, you want to come up here and lead us in prayer? No. Sharon, would you like to do that?
I would
you?
Turn the camera
Sharon is brave. I like to get you girls involved too.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the freedom that you give us, Lord. Thank you for the freedom of our choice and the path that you help lead us down, Lord. And thank you for your greatness and your word and the freedom that we have to study your word. Thank you for everybody that made it here tonight, Lord, and bless Jim and this class. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I think Marilyn had every intention of being here tonight, but she was too tired, I think. She's still getting over her sickness, and I thank Dakota for being here today to help me put everything up, because this is a lot of work. And she wasn't feeling very good today, but she came anyway. 45 and verse 1. And I hope I don't cough too much tonight. I got my water here anyway. Wilo, Yaakov, Yosef, Lihit Apek, Liko, Ha Nitzarivim, Alo, Wayikra, Hotsira, Ko, Ish, Mi Ele, Wilo, Amad, Ish, Yito, Bihit Wada, Yosef, El Itah. Now, the book of Genesis is a book of prophecy. The book of Genesis is a book of prophecy. I want you to remember that of all things. The book of Genesis is a book of prophecy. A powerful book of prophecy. I believe I wanted to live long enough to teach the whole book of Genesis. Because I think that is a foundation. The first 40-something classes that I did in Genesis were the most revelating classes that people say that I ever taught. Church history was quite a class. So those of you that studied church history, it's absolutely amazing what you study in church history. But the book of Genesis is such a book of prophecy. Such a foundation of the Bible. I threw a little thing out this morning that jarred the class really good. I said, God didn't create the earth in 6 days. He created it instantaneously. He restored it and rebuilt it in 6 days. In Hebrew, you know that. In the English Bible, you may not. But in Hebrew, you know it. Because that's the language that the Bible was inspired in. It was inspired in English. It's inspired in Hebrew and in Greek. You want to know what the Bible says, go in those languages and you look closely. And you can bet on every tense, mode, and voice. Everything. You know that is of God. Okay? Now, Joseph loses control of himself. And he has been tricking his brothers, hasn't he? He's kept them in suspension. He has brought them to the point of repentance. They are very sad. They think that God has followed them down to Egypt and has found them out. They think that this man is going to be the man that is going to punish them for all the evil deeds that they ever did. to each other and to their poor father, which is Jacob. And I'm going to tell you something. God loved Jacob. I want you to understand that. God loved Jacob. And these boys had abused their father over and over again. You see that. And not was able, Joseph, to control himself with all the ones standing by him, Elah, Wayikrah, and he called, and he kept on calling. See that word, first verse, masculine, senior, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. Wayikrah, he called, and he kept on calling. And what is the root of that word, Wayikrah? Look down there at the bottom of it. I wrote the root down there for you. That's kara. See that? Kara. Kara. Kaf Reshin Alpha. Aleph. See that? Kara. Down below, page 894 and page 1128. 894 in Brown, Dryer, and Briggs, 1128 in Kohler and Bumgardner. That's Kara. And he kept on calling to call us to go out, every man, from upon me, from upon me. Look at that word all there, a little preposition, all, and it's got a suffix, upon me. Okay? From men is contracted to me all. From all or upon me. That's what it has. There's actually three things there. From man, all, and me is the suffix. Me ale. And then we lo, and we are and not. We lo and not. We have a conjunction there, we, and then not is lo. And not. He had stood. Not he had stood. A man with him. In making himself known, Joseph unto his brothers. Joseph unto his brothers. Wayaten. Et galo. Bitki. Wayitz miu. Mitzrayim. Wayishma. Beth. Haro. Okay. And he kept on giving his voice. He kept on giving his voice. In weeping. And they kept on hearing Egyptians. What does Egyptians mean? People of the land of the red mud and the canals and the bulwarks. And they kept on hearing. Look at that word hearing. That Shema. Shema. See that? Shema. That root is Shema. Shem, Mem, and Ayin. Shema. They kept on hearing. Third person, masculine, plural, cow, wow, consecutive, imperfect. And they kept on hearing the Egyptians. And he kept on hearing the house. The house of Pharaoh kept on hearing. What does Pharaoh mean? Big house. Okay. Pharaoh's household, his household kept on hearing Joseph's voice. Joseph was wailing and weeping. He was screaming in anguish because he has seen his brothers and he's going to make himself known. And he wants to see his daddy as his daddy, and he wants to hold his brothers and kiss his brothers. And the one thing that has triggered this most of all is the sight of his full brother Benjamin. In the... Mm-hmm. They were astonished. You know, Genesis is a book of prophecy. Hypnose. Talom. What does that mean? A dream. A hypnotic trance. God held Joseph in a hypnotic trance and he told him prophecy. And this is the fulfillment of prophecy, verse 45 and chapter 45 and verse 3. Joseph tells his brothers who he is. Now, the brothers had a real wall-eyed conniption fit, haven't they, when he told them that they were going to bow down to him. Even his own father had a little fit about it. You really think we're going to bow down to you? His own father said. That's what the word, that's what the inspiration that God had given him in this dream said. Now let's look at it. Wyomer. Yosef. Elishah. Ani. Yosef. Ha'od. Avi. Hey. Wilo. Yakilu. Yisha. La'anoth. Ota. Ki. Nivhalu. Mipana. And kept on saying Joseph. What does Joseph mean? What? What's that, Pam?
Multiply
and increase. Thank you, Pam. You got an A plus for tonight. And he kept on saying Joseph unto, look at that word preposition there, page 39 in Brown Driver Meek's little Allah. El, Asha, his brothers, Ani, I, Joseph. This here would have shook the world to them. Can you imagine when he said that? Ani, Yosef, Ani, Yosef. Say, Ani, Yosef. That's what he said to them. That's the words, Ani, Yosef. And they hit the floor. Wham! I mean, this shook the world over there in Egypt. Ani, Yosef. That's what you call parentheses. This is quotations. The still my father living? Now, they want to know. Now, first of all, he didn't know whether they were telling the truth or not because he knew what they had done to him. All right, he knew what they had done to him. And so he didn't know whether his father was still alive. Now he wants to know, the first thing he wants to know when he makes himself known, is my father still living? Is he still living? That word, hayya, hayya, say hayya, hayya. That means living. That means life. Does he still have life? And not, they were able. Not they had been able. Not they had been able. Literally, that's probably a better translation. Not they had been able. See, that's perfect tense. Third person, corporal plural, cal perfect. Not they had been able, his brothers, to answer. We have call infinitive construct here. To answer him, ital. Look at that word ital there. What is that, brother? Roger? Ital. That's the sign of direct copy for the suffix. All right. And that suffix is a personal pronoun. Sign of direct copy for the suffix. If you want to put down page 84, it's down there though in yours. Oh, did I write it down? Page 84? Okay. Because they had been dismayed. They were absolutely perplexed. They were blown away from before his face. Acts 7:13, Genesis 43:27, 37:20-28, and 42:21-22. This is prophecy fulfilled, right here. When he said, I am Yosef, say it again, Ani Yosef. When he said that to them, they hit the ground. I mean, they hit the ground. They hit the ground. Prophecy was fulfilled. Genesis is a book of prophecy. Wayomer. Yosef. Elishah. Yishu. Nah. Ile. Wayikashu. Wayomer. Ani. Yosef. Achivikem. Asher. Mikartem. Ote. Mitzrayimah. And he kept on saying, Joseph, unto his brothers, come near, come near. This is imperative. He's giving them a demand. Come near, please. Nah, that's a what we call a particle of entreaty. Please. unto me. See, there is a preposition with a suffix on it, unto me. And they kept on coming near. I'll tell you something, they came near carefully, as if you were walking up to a grizzly bear. And he kept on saying, I, Ani Yosef, say Ani Yosef. That's a direct quote. Your brother, Achikim, Asher, your brother who, oh, look at this, each and every one of you, each and every one of you sold. Second person masculine plural, cow perfect. Second person masculine plural, cow perfect. Which each and every one of you sold. Each and every one. Second person masculine plural. Each and every one. Sold me unto Egypt. Into Egypt. The land of red mud. Genesis 37:28. Prophecy is fulfilled. 45 and verse 5 now. 45 and verse 5. Now, we could have gone into the New Testament and the Old Testament and all over the places on each one of these verses. Brother Mike, thank you, brother. I couldn't think of it. Thank you, your name. Mike, Michael, that's a good name. You're actually James Michael, isn't it?
Yeah.
You asked a real good question earlier about Esau and Jacob. God didn't spend 1 minute, didn't waste 1 minute on Esau because he wasn't worth wasting a minute on. He was nothing but a playboy and he lived for the moment. Jacob thought about eternal things. Jacob was the breadwinner of his family. He was the one that provided food on the table. Jacob was the man of the family and his mother loved him. She loved him. Rebecca loved that man. That was the one she loved because Esau was a playboy. But Isaac loved Esau because he provided the food that he loved, wild meat. Maybe Isaac didn't have a good sense of taste, a good sense of smell and taste. And when you get older, you start losing your sense of smell and taste. And God had to blind Isaac because he would have blessed the wrong man. Because willingly, openly, everybody in that family knew that Esau had sold his birthright to Jacob. That was a family thing. They knew all of this. He didn't care about his birthright. So what? And many places in the book of Malachi, the book of Romans, book of Hebrews, all through the New Testament and filtered through the whole Bible, it says that God loved Jacob and he hated Esau. The Bible is a book of prophecy. We see that all through the book. God guided every moment that Jacob walked on this earth. You go look at Jacob's life, and you'll find out that that man was a man of many troubles. But God blessed him, and he protected him in every situation. And these boys had been cruel to their father. They'd been cruel to him. And God had protected him, though, and he lived a long life, didn't he? One of the most shining examples of Christianity in the Bible is Jacob. People have played him down so many times. I had a preacher call me here the other day and ask me about Jacob and Esau. We know that Jacob was a mama's boy and Esau was a he-man. I said, no, that's not the way it was. Jacob was a he-man. He was a strong man. He was probably much stronger than Esau. But his father liked him, even though he was worthless. There was an old movie a long time ago where these two criminals, con men, confidence men, went into this little old town, this little community, and they kidnapped this little boy. What was the name of that movie, Dakota? The Ransom for Red Chief, I think. O. Henry wrote that story. They went in there and they said, oh, well, if this is a bad boy, the family always loves the bad boy anyway. They cater to the bad boy. They'll give more for him than anybody else. This was the bad boy. And his father loved the bad boy, and he catered to the bad boy. And he was going to bless him in spite of what God knew. And Rebecca had told, by inspiration, he had told her before these boys were born that the younger would overcome the older. That the older would serve the younger. And she told Jacob. She told Isaac, but Isaac wasn't interested. And now, not he grieved, he pained. And not be grieved, not be distressed, not be pained. And not you be angry, not burn with great anger. Third person masculine, Cal Juicy. Not burn with anger. Don't let your nose get on fire. You ever see somebody get real mad and they got red in the face? That's what he's talking about. In your eyes, because you all have sold me. You all have sold me. See, that's third, second person masculine plural, Cal perfect. You all have sold me. You can put have down in there because that's perfect tense. You sold me. Here we have the sign of direct object with a suffix on it. You all sold me. Here, hane. Because for the preservation of life, look at that word in there. You see life in that word. For the preservation of life, he had sent me. Who's he had sent me? Elohim. From before your face. From before your face. As a trailblazer. Genesis 37:28, 45:7-8, and 50 in verse 2, and Psalm 105, verse 17. We're going to stop when we get to 45 and verse 7. We're going to look at that. That we cannot run past. Okay? Ki ze shenatayim. Hara'av. Bitaru. Ha'aretz. Weod. Hamesh. Shanim. Asher. En. Harish. Wikatsir. Because now, or because this, 2 years. 2 years. Shanatim. What do years mean? What does the word years mean in the Hebrew Bible, in Hebrew? What does it mean?
Cycle of seasons.
Of complete circle of seasons. A complete circle of seasons. 1 year ago, this day would have been, to this day would be 1 year ago. Okay? Now 2 years, the famine. And in the middle, in the inward part, in the middle of the land, and still 5 years. Five cycles, which not is plowing and harvest. Now, I want you to think about this for just a little while. Most of the land of Palestine or Canaan, say Canaan, okay, the land of Palestine or Canaan was not irrigated, was it? Most of it was not irrigated. Most of it, what we call our dry land farmers, dry land farming. Dry land farmers. And these dry land farmers, they totally depended upon the rain. And there wasn't going to be any rain. The only places there's going to be any fresh vegetables or anything is where? Right there on the Nile where they had red mud and canals. Okay? And they could produce fruit. And they could produce all of this. Only where there was streams. And most of the streams in the land would dry up. The Nile wasn't going to dry up, but boy, there was going to be a lot of parched land out there. So the whole world's going to have to come down to Egypt. And God, in His foreordination and forethought and predestination and whatever you want to call it, His plan of the ages, He sent Jacob down there. Or not Jacob, but Joseph down there to preserve Jacob's seed. We're going to go and see this in a few minutes. Still 5 years, which is not plowing and harvest. 45 and verse 7. And A great deliverance is foretold. A great deliverance is foretold. The book of Genesis is a book of prophecy. I've said that over and over and over tonight because I want you to understand that. Okay, it's very important. Got it, Dakota? Vayishlakini. Elohim. Lefanikem. Lasum. Lakem. Sherith. Baris. Yulihachoth. Lakem. Lefalita. Yedola. Couldn't say it. Vayishlakini. And he kept on setting me, Elohim, before your face, sending me. I was the trailblazer. To a place. To be in a certain place for you. A resting place. A remnant. A remainder. In land. And to preserve alive. If the L infinitive contract to preserve a life for you, a escape. Now God always talks about Israel and many times in a military term. This is God's army. His army is going to escape for a deliverance, for his escape, an escape route. His army, God's army, is going to be preserved in a great deliverance. A great deliverance. Genesis 45 and verse 5, it talks about this. Genesis 15 and verse 6, God talks about this. Genesis the 15th chapter, that's way back yonder, isn't it? Way back yonder. Let's go all the way back to Genesis the 9th chapter. Let's go way back in the first beginning and the first set of volumes that I did in Genesis the 9th chapter. Let's go back and see how long ago this was prophesied. Okay? Genesis, the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter. Genesis means what? Bereshith means what? The book of beginnings. Genesis, the 9th chapter. Now, we've covered this a couple of times, but we can't do it enough. Okay? Genesis 9 and verse 24. We know here the story of when the ark landed, Noah planted a vineyard, a grape vineyard. He made wine, and things had changed from before the flood to after the flood. That wine fermented, and it became, the grape juice fermented, and it became wine with alcohol in it. Okay? And he got drunk. Maybe the boys got drunk too. Maybe the whole bunch of them were laying up there drunk. Yeah. I was a product of a whole bunch of drunk Indians. There was time for that whole tribe of Indians of mine. They'd go out there from great-grandma all the way down and just lay up there drunk. That's what happened in this case, probably. Okay? And he said that he knew what his youngest son had done. Who was his youngest son? Who was Noah's youngest son? Ham, Shem, and Japheth. It was Ham, his youngest son. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Ham had done something wrong. Now, Ham is the father of all the dark races, okay? This is the guy that it is. And he had done something wrong. And what that wrong was, he probably got drunk. Maybe Ham got drunk too. And he went in and he laid down with his own mother. Many of the rabbis believe that. And she became pregnant. And the product of this, according to some scholars, was Canaan, the product of it. A child of incest, possibly. And he was the one that is going to be the father of all the people in the land of Canaan. Okay? Now these are going to be a bad people. Just like I said, God didn't waste one minute on Esau. These people in Canaan were worthless. They're always going to be worthless. If there was a good one there, if one of them perchance got saved and really believed in God, God was going to take them out of there. We know that some of that happened, didn't it? Didn't, don't we? Some of them got saved. We got some examples of them in the lineage of Christ. Rahab, the harlot of the land of Canaan, is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. She was a prostitute, but she got saved. So he said, cursed intentionally is Canaan. Say Canaan. That's really the way to say that. Canaan. It's not Canaan, it's Canaan. Okay? A servant of servants. A lowest slave of slaves. He shall be to his brothers. Now what's happening here is God is setting the background for the land of Canaan. Okay? This is who's going to people the land of Canaan. And these are the people that's going to be in the land when Jacob goes there with his son. And he's going to give this land to them later on. But a lot of water's got to run under the bridges. Okay? And he also said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. Shem means what?
Name.
Okay, let's go back and look at some of the names. Who is Ham? What does his name mean? Dark. Dark. That's what Ham means. Dark, secret, hidden. Okay? What does Canaan mean?
Possession.
Possession. Or gotten, or possession. And now what does Shem mean? Name, monument, or pillar. Because Shem will be the pillar, the monument by which God will make his name known to all nations. And let Canaan be his servant. Canaan be his servant. We are specifically saying, not all of Ham's children are to be cursed with slavery. Though they will be in many ways. We know that they will be cursed in many ways. They will become slaves. We know that the sons of Ham would go out and they would be the trailblazers. They would make all the inventions in mankind. All the basic inventions the sons of Ham would make. They would go out and they would spread further on the earth and their languages would be more confused than any other people. Let Canaan be his servant. Let Canaan be his servant. And may God enlarge Japheth. Say Japheth. What does Japheth mean?
Spreading.
Now this is your northern European people. Okay? These are your English. These are your Germans. These are your Russians. These are all these people. These are even the Greeks. Okay? And these people would basically rule the world. And the name means spreading. And they would follow the Hamites and they would enslave the Hamites. We know that happened in history. Anybody's fool doesn't say that. That happened. And they improved the inventions of the Hamites and they enslaved the Hamites. They absolutely conquered and obliterated many of the Hamitic cultures all over the world. The most advanced society in the world was the Egyptians and the Chinese. The Chinese. China looked at the rest of the world. These were the Hittites, by the way. The Chinese looked at the rest of the world as a bunch of ignorant savages. China had the greatest inventions. They had indoor plumbing. They had hygiene. They had medicine. They had pharmaceuticals. And the same thing in South America and Mesoamerica. And in Egypt, the greatest doctors in the world were these Hamitic cultures. Okay? The Japhethites would follow in there and overcome them and conquer them and try to obliterate their languages. Isn't that what happened in America? What happened in New Zealand? What happened in Australia? What happened in the islands? Hawaii, all of this. Isn't that what happened? Let him dwell in the tents of Shem. All right, we know later on that the Japhethites would become the carriers of the gospel. Some of the greatest preachers in all in the history of mankind are the Japhethites. All right? And let Canaan be his. Let Canaan be his servant. And Noah lived 350 years after the flood. I believe these are real years. And so all the days of Noah were 950 years and he died and I believe he lived 950 years. Real years. Basically, 360-day years, I believe, is what most people believe it. You know, there's a whole lot of difference between a 365-day year and a 360-day year. You know that? You count that up in a few millennia and see how long it is. All right, let's go on now. Now we got this set down. Now, did they say, did God tell them that the prophecy, is that a book of prophecy right here? We set up the whole structure where we are, standing where we are in Egypt, in the land of Canaan, and the land of Egypt, okay? Or Mitzrayim. Now let's go down to Genesis, the 15th chapter. Genesis chapter 15. This is quite a lesson tonight. I think this is one of the foundational lessons of the book of Genesis. Genesis 15 and verse 6. What does it say there? Genesis 15 and verse 6. Anybody read that?
Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness.
Who's he there?
Abraham.
Abraham believed in the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Abraham believed God. All right. Now, if you get back up there, you go back and you find out the Eliezer of Damascus. Eliezer was the friend of the bridegroom. As a type, Eliezer was a type of John the Baptist to come. Metatate, I mean, not metatate. I look at that and I see it in Greek. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not fear." Here we have a hypnotic trance again, don't we? "Do not fear, Abraham. I am a shield to you, and reward shall be very great." And Abraham said, "O Lord God, what wilt thou give me, since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" He had appointed Eliezer as his son, his heir. And Abraham said, "Since thou hast given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." Then, behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one shall be come forth from your own body, and he shall be your heir." And he took him outside and said to him, look to the heavens, and count the stars, if you ever to count them." He said unto him, "So shall be your descendants be." When he looked at the stars, what is he talking about? When he looked at the stars, when he looked at the sand of the sea, what is he talking about? When Abraham looked at the sand of the sea, what is he talking about? His physical seed. Abraham was the father of the Japhethites, the Hamites, and the Shemites. He had a Shemite wife, which is the mother of Israel. He had a Hamite wife, and he had a Japhethite wife. If you can trace your lineage, you probably will trace it right back to Abraham. I don't care who you are. You're going to go back to Abraham, because his seed flows in all of our veins. That's it. Then he believed God, believed in the Jehovah, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Now let's go on down a little further. And God makes a revelation. He makes prophecy in the book of Genesis in the 15th chapter. Verse number 12. "And when the sun was going down deep, asleep," again, a hypnotic trance. Hypnose. Talon. All right? A hypnotic trance fell upon Abram. Now, his name was not Abraham yet, was it? His name was Abram. What does Abram mean? Exalted father. Exalted father. "And terror and great darkness fell upon him. And God said to Abraham, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers." Really, this is very important. This goes right back here. We have to go from Genesis, the 45th chapter, right back here, because this is the fulfillment of this prophecy. The whole, from here on, from 45 to verse 50, from chapter 45 to chapter 50 in Genesis, is the fulfillment of this. Okay? "And God said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers." They're going to be pilgrims. They're going to be campers. They're going to be full-time RVers in the land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved. He's talking to Abraham now. God's talking to Abraham. Jehovah is talking to Abraham. Look at what else it says here. "And in a land that is not theirs, and they will be enslaved and oppressed for how long? 400 years. That's fact, isn't it? This is prophecy. This is what we call the foreknowledge of God. You believe in the foreknowledge of God, you better. Because it's a fact. Now, I'm going to tell you something here. I said in the beginning of the class that God hated sinners. He hates sinners. Well, all of us are sinners, aren't we? But we got saved sinners and we got lost sinners. Saved sinners are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and God cannot see you for the blood of Jesus Christ. He doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see your ungodliness. You are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. But why do I say that He hates sinners? Those that have not repented are going to go to the trash can, file 13. That's eternal hell fire. And He does not love them over there. Once they leave this life, it's over with. There is no second chances. It's done and it's over with. There won't be one atheist in hell. Not one. Because when they, 1 second after they die, they're going to be a believer. They better make everything they can do of their atheism and agnosticism in this world, because once they close their eyes in death, they will no longer be an atheist or an agnostic. They will go to hell, but they won't be an atheist and agnostic in hell. They're going to be believers. Here a while back, I talked about the love letter from hell, didn't I? God didn't get to go back, did He? They will be oppressed for 400 years. But I will judge the nation whom they will serve. And afterward, they will come out with what? Many possessions. They'll come out rich. And as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried at a good old age. And then, verse number 16, look at this. I mean, circle this. Yellow it out. Red it out. Do something with this, okay? This is the foundation of the rest of the Bible right here. That in the fourth generation they will return from here, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet. Who's these Amorites? These are the Hamites. These are the descendants of Canaan. For their iniquity is not yet full. Everything is done in space and time. What a tremendous prophecy. Verse number 17, and it came about when the sun had set that it was very dark. Sophon skotia in Greek. And behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a flaming torch which passed before these pieces. He had taken out and he'd taken these animals and cut them in half. And what they were supposed to do there in these treaties, in these covenants, barith, it's cuttings, D-S-A-K in Greek, barith in Hebrew, they would cut these animals up and put half of the animal over here and half of the animal over here, and they would sit there and cook those animals, and they would eat all of these animals up in a feast until they're all gone. And they'd keep on, and then they would hand each other their shoe and they go on. God did not let Abraham sign the contract. He didn't let him do anything. He put him to sleep. Who signed the contract? Who walked between? Jehovah God did. The Shekinah glory of God went through. A flaming torch, the Shekinah glory of God, walked between the pieces. And on that day, the Lord God, Jehovah, made a covenant with Abraham. Jehovah made the covenant. This is what we call an unconditional covenant. An unconditional covenant. Didn't depend on Abraham. This depends upon the one that walked and swore by himself, it says. Fenced himself in. To your descendants, I have given this land. From the river Euphrates as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. All this is going to be Jewish land one of these days. It could have been their land if they would have accepted the Messiah when Jesus came. But they didn't want Him. But one day they will. The Kenite and the Kenizzite and the Gadamite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Raphaim and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Girgashite and the Jebusite. Who were the Jebusites? The Jebush. Where's Jebush in the Bible? Where's Jebush? Anybody know where Jebush is? What is Jebush? Jebush. The Jebusites, Jebush. That is where that great prophet of God was that some people think was a pre-incarnate Christ. Melchizedek. Melchizedek was the king of Jebush, or Salem. The old city of Jebush is what we call the city of David. That's Jerusalem. All right? Did that make you happy looking at those verses tonight? Isn't that beautiful? A great deliverance is foretold. A great deliverance is foretold. Let's go back and read that one more time. And he sent me, Elohim, before your face, to a place for you for a remaining ones, in a land, and to preserve alive for you a mighty deliverance, an escape route, an army of people. And when God would take these millions of people out of the land of Egypt, that would be God's army, and they would go back into the land of Canaan to begin to possess the land of Canaan. 45 and verse 8. Do you have any questions about that? Isn't that beautiful prophecy? How many of you have ever seen this before? Anybody ever seen this? Isn't that beautiful? This is the foundation of the Word of God. The foundation. The book of Genesis is a book of what? Prophecy. A book of guaranteed prophecy. Guaranteed prophecy. Not maybe. It's for sure. We look for a city whose builder and maker and designer and architect and blueprint builder is what? God. Abraham never received that city. Jacob never received that city. Isaac never received that city. None of the fathers ever received that city. And we look forward to heaven. Say heaven. Hashemayim. We look forward to being in heaven. We haven't seen heaven, have we? But do you believe the promises of heaven? I believe them. Test the Word of God. Test it. Assay it. You won't be afraid to study. Don't ever be afraid to study God's Word. Don't ever be afraid to dig deep into it. We talked about chronology, biblical chronology. We talked about the young earth theory, which is based upon not the Bible. Not the Bible. We look at all these things. When you study the Word of God, you study science. Study medicine. Don't be afraid of it. Study medicine. There was one doctor back in the 1800s that was studying medicine when medicine just began to be understood. People did not understand medicine. The Hamites understood medicine a whole lot better than the Japhethites did. But the Japhethites had just begun to understand medicine in the late 1800s. And this doctor looked at the human body and they began to understand what diseases were. They began to understand remedies for diseases. They began to understand pharmaceuticals and all of this. And this doctor said, he wrote this book, The Splendor of God. He said, I don't know how anyone...
Yeah, turn this antique over here.
I don't understand how anyone that could study medicine and not believe in God, not believe in a creator. I don't know how anyone could study medicine and not believe in a creator. I'll drop a little bomb on you right now. Because many of you don't know this. These allergies are killing me. Before you could ever become a judge, a lawyer, or a doctor, you had to have your doctor of theology for hundreds of years. Did you know that? You had to study theology. What kind of a person would a lawyer make if he believed the Bible? Are American lawyers of the most greedy, low snakes that ever crossed the face of this earth, ever slithered and walked on her belly? England, the mother country, if you want to call it that. This is the Japhethitic society we live in today. The mother country over there, the lawyers in England swear allegiance to the crown, not to the client. They swear that they will bring justice and they will not defend a guilty client and try to say that he is innocent. Boy, how that would affect America today if we only would take that little bit of credibility in our as our attorneys. If they believe. One of the wildest attorneys that ever lived was Moman Pruitt out of Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. He memorized the Bible and he used it, even though he was a drunkard and an alcoholic. He knew the Bible and he would quote the Bible and people believed the Bible back in those days. He went to San Francisco one time and he went out there and he saw the sin of San Francisco and the adultery and the promiscuous behavior of those people. Guess what? It's still that way. He saw all of this in San Francisco and he told his wife, I can't believe that God is going to destroy that city. He is going to rain fire and brimstone on them. He's going to destroy that city just like he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, or he owed the Sodom and Gomorrah apology. He's going to do it. Not many years after that, they had that 1908 earthquake and burned the whole city down. And you see, I told you so. He went back and he bought a place in Florida. And he looked down there and guess who he moved right next door to Florida? Who was his next door neighbor? Al Capone and the mafia and the drug runners and everything. And he was a drunk and he was an alcoholic, but he said, I won't let that... And he got real sick too. That man almost died. He had a staph infection in his head and his sinuses that almost killed him. And he went into a clinic and finally quit drinking and everything. And he got well. The doctor got him well. But he said, God is going to destroy it. He begged his wife, wife, you may love this country, but let's go back to Okie. Let's go back to Indian Territory. Let's go back to Oklahoma and let's live in Oklahoma City or Paul's Valley or something. Let's get out of this place because God's going to judge this place. And the property was sky high and he had property. Oh, lawyers always get lots of property, don't they? They pilfer their clients and they grab their property. I had a lawyer one time tried to take all my gun collection and tried to get me to sign my house over to it, just to protect my daughter. I didn't do it. But they are good about grabbing property. Anyway, he said, all of our property in Florida is going to be worthless. It's going to be wiped off with a hurricane, an earthquake, something's going to happen. Guess what? It happened. He lost all, he went broke. Because his wife wouldn't listen to him. He went broke. He believed that God was going to judge that place. And God did judge it. 45 and verse 8. We are taught. Lo, atim, shalachidhem. Ote, hena, ki, ha elohim. Vayish, shimni. Leal, Lefero, Yuli Don, Likal, Betol, Yumashel, Bikal, Eretz, Mitzrayim. We are Ta, and now Lo Atem, and now not you. We have a little adverb of negation there, Lo. Not you had sent me. Not all of you. You didn't do it. It's second person masculine plural, cow perfect. Not you had sent me. Each one of you. Here. Because Elohim. The God. Ha Elohim. Look at that. Ha Elohim. The God. Don't forget the definite article there. The God. He has placed me here. Third person, masculine, singular, cal, wow, consecutive, perfect. He has kept on placing me here. First person, construct, singular, suffix on that. See that? For a father to Pharaoh. I became a father to Pharaoh. Pharaoh doesn't do one thing unless he asks daddy's permission. And that's Joseph. And to the Lord, to the Adonai. to all his house, and a ruling one in all the land of Egypt. I've become the ruling one. The Moshel, the ruling one. Masculine singular, cal participle. The Moshel. You Moshel. And ruling one in all the land of red mud and riverbanks. 45 and verse 9. We'll try to do 9 and 10 and we'll turn you loose on the world. How's that? Is that all right with you? If you want to quit now. Maharu. Wealu. Elabi. Wa'amartim. Elal. Ko. Amar. Bika. Yosef. Samani. Elohim. Li Adon. Liko. Mitzrayim. Rida. Ile. Al. Ta'amod. And all of you hurry. Haste, with great haste. Look at that, it's in the PL stem, masculine plural PL imperative. And go up unto my father. And you all say unto him, I want every one of you to swear to him now, thus he has said, your son Joseph. You tell him that I said this. He has placed me, Elohim, for a Lord, for Adonai, the King of Kings, to all of Egypt, all of Mithraim, and all of you come down unto me, and do not delay. Do not delay, not you shall delay. Second person, imagines of cows, uses and means. 45 and verse 10. Wayashta, the Everts, Goshen, Wehayita, Karu, Ile, Ita, Ata that is, Yuvanika, Yuvane, Vanika, Witso Nika, Yuvakarika, we call Asher Lach. And you shall dwell, you shall live in the land of Goshen. And you shall be, or you shall have become, that is, literally, near unto me. And your sons, and your flocks. Jacob loved his animals. He loved his flocks. He was an animal lover. Did you know that? He loved animals. When he was a young man, he was a cowboy and the shepherd of all the fields. Which was another great shepherd in the Bible. Who was the other great shepherd? David. His great, 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 great grandson. All right? And your flocks and your herds. Your flocks, your little sheep and goats. Look at that, sheep and goats. And your big cattle. Your bokers, your little zones and your bokers, and all which to you. Jacob loved his little animals. All right, 45 and verse 11 is where we'll start next week. Do you have any questions? So we went from 45:1 through 10 tonight. We covered a lot of territory and a whole lot of prophecy, didn't we? A lot of territory and a whole lot of prophecy. Do you have any questions? What's the name of this lesson? Genesis, a book of prophecy. I want you to get that across. I want you to know that tonight. Genesis is a book of prophecy. People look at the book of Revelation as a book of prophecy, but I'm going to tell you something. Genesis is a book of prophecy, and it goes all the way from Genesis through Revelation. We jumped all the way into eternity future, didn't we? We went to the millennial reign tonight. We crossed all the promises of God in His Word tonight. God bless all of you. Brother Abe, you want to come up here and lead us in prayer, brother? Dismiss us in prayer tonight?
Father, thank you for this night. You gave us insight and wisdom through the Holy Spirit. And you gave us the origin of life, the thinking of God and plan of God. Please be with us and be with Dr. Phillips and more people. Let more people come this class to know your mind and your heart. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you to everyone out here.